Good morning, everyone. Let me go ahead and start the Mesa City Council study session of Thursday, April 5th, 2007. Our first item is to hear a presentation and discuss the status of the 06-07 budget.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. Chuck Odom, Acting Budget Director. Wanted to come to you this morning to just give you a brief update on the budget, where we are on current year on revenues and expenditures, some of the forecast assumptions and components that are going to be driving the budget that you'll see coming forward, and the timelines and calendars that you should be expecting, and some of our budget discussion items. So if you go to page 2 of the presentation, overall on revenue projections, we're pretty much spot on. As you'll see in the next couple pages, there are some disparities between local sources and shared sources, but where we budgeted for the year looks like we're going to come in very close for the year, about $738 million. So, page 3, we have revenue projections, and I kind of broke these out by local sources again and the shared sources just to give you a comparison. We're down somewhat in some of the shared or in the local sources. Sales tax, our 1.2% that went into effect, looks like we're going to be pretty much on target for that this year. Beginning of the year, we were having some very healthy percentage increases. Looks like we're tailing out toward the end of the year. So, local street sales tax, I want to explain this one a little bit. We're off 6.5% in this one for a difference of $1.6 million. We did not have a chance to really know what the effect of long-term contracts were prior to this, since this first time we'd implemented a new sales tax revenue stream. Under current state law, if you have a long-term contract, you don't have to pay any increases to the sales tax until that contract expires. So this was a bit more of an impact than we'd expected. So as soon as some of these long-term contracts tail out, we'll be seeing increased revenue sources related to that.
So some of the people that were at 1.5 will then, when we rebid it, go to 1.75.
Correct.
Okay.
So the quality of life sales tax and the 1% existed on those other contracts, did not exist for the 0.3, so they did not have to pay that.
Okay.
Other taxes, the bed tax, that's come in very well on that area this year. Local licenses and permits, that's down primarily due to the building permits and the impact fees. Charges for services are down somewhat. That's tied to later implementation of the fire inspection fees than we'd originally budgeted. And we'd budgeted in some items for special events that we did not incur the revenue, so we don't incur the expenditures. So they kind of match out, they're revenue neutral to us. Fines and forfeitures, we've had an increased caseload, so civil sanctions are up, and our court holding account, which represents pending cases to be adjudicated, are up. So our enterprise fund, it's almost $4.6 million off, but again, electric commodity prices are over half of that, so again, the revenues don't come in, but we don't incur the expenditure. So it's a negative impact to us. We also had $10 million in budgeted land sales from the Pinal County Water in the original budget. We changed that in the forecast, so we don't have that in. That's $10 million of enterprise monies.
Chuck, on the enterprise fund, you said, so that's negative to us. I think you meant that was neutral, didn't you?
Well, on the electric portion is neutral, correct.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yes. But water is, we had $10 million in land sales that have been offset, so we had the $10 million hit, but we'd planned for that in the forecast, as you'll recall. Now we go to our shared sources. State sales tax, they remain fairly strong. $2.7 million increase, that's good news. State revenue sharing, 2.1%, or $2.1 million up. Mass transit for the RTP, A is 0.2 million up. Auto-Lu, that I guess car sales are down somewhat, 4.1%. So, and our HERF also is up, gas tax. On the overall, we'll have more extensive expenditure forecasts and so forth for you at our May 3rd council meeting. So we'll go over a more extensive forecast on expenditures. But right now, it looks like we're at 98.2% of personal expenses.
I have a question, Tom. Before we leave revenue, did you break this out as to where we are in the general fund versus restricted funds in terms of the revenue projections?
We're looking fairly good on, and it's pretty much across everything.
Okay.
We're okay. The nice thing is the forecast seems to be working, and we're hitting those targets.
Okay, great.
Now, these percentages are about as high as we've ever seen in my experience with the budget office on percentage of expenditure. So that probably tells you that we cut about as close as we can get and still maintain good operational delivery. So 98.2% of personal services are expected to be expended, 99.2% of other services, and 96.2% of commodities. And that one's a little more volatile than the others just because of the pass-through of the gas commodities and the electric commodities. And they were a little cheaper than we'd budgeted. So we're expecting the expenditures to be pretty much spot on. Excuse me.
Okay. In the past, I know there'd be a substantial rollover from one budget cycle to the other. So what you're saying is that's going to...
Where you're going to see the substantial rollover is on our capital side. So if a project's not done, that's the ones we'll just take the resources and the project and we just move to the next year. So these are the ones that give us, I don't want to say discretionary, but freedom of movement in the budget is in these three categories from the operational standpoint. And as you can see, we're not going to have a lot of discretionary movement other than what we'd already modeled into the forecast.
Okay. Mayor, I think also back in your history on council, and those have been around a long time, you're right. We used to spend a lot less in a percentage basis, and that used to be our fund balance. Mm-hmm. We would just carry that over. As we have gotten tighter on our budgeting, now we budget for a fund balance, and Chuck reserves that amount, and it's set aside where we typically years and years ago we didn't used to do that.
Correct. And kind of reiterate that since we're going to forecast assumptions on 6, is your percentage targets that we'd set up in the forecast model, that's what I work from. So just kind of building on where we're going in the budget coming forward, we used some of the major forecast assumptions to build the preliminary budget that we're going to be bringing forward. So just as a reminder of some of the issues and percentage changes that we had, just if you have any questions on any of the major components, we have all the market survey adjustment, we have the 3% COLA built in, we have the other services and commodities inflated out against those percentages. The major personal service components that drive the major increases to personal services, what we're using out into the future for our inflators even beyond the biennial budget there, and then what our expected utility rate charges components are. Right now we're bringing forward a mixed bag of percentages, but they stay within the 5% original target of what we targeted for the overall forecast.
There's a couple numbers on page 6 that are fairly substantial. The state share revenue sharing, the 24.4.
Yes.
What was the cause of that again? I've forgotten.
On state revenue sharing, that's the urban shared taxes. That's on your income tax. There's a 2-year delay on the distribution of those taxes. 2 years ago, there was a very large increase, if you'll recall, in state collections of income taxes.
Well, so that's when they changed the long-term capital gains structure and everybody
cashed
in.
That's correct. So there was a very, very big bump. So that's going to increase our base share. And then after that, you see more normal growth patterns.
Okay, the other one that really drives this looks like it's the hospital and life insurance at 10, almost 11% a year.
That is correct.
That compounded has got to be a huge number.
It is. About $3.5 to $4 million a year.
Right. And then the other one that I take a little, it's kind of finally nice to see that, is the stability pay to actually going negative.
By 2019, it is no longer, unless someone really likes to work for a long time, that's pretty much non-existent.
Okay.
The other thing that I'd probably point out to you, if you look in 11-12 down on your Ottawa state sales tax, HERF, we're looking to lose quite a bit of share due to the new census. The whole valley is growing, but we're not growing as much percentage-wise in comparison to the whole area. So we will probably lose percentage share. So we have factored that in.
Why would it jump back up to 12% the year after from 11-12 to 12-13? It goes from negative 2.7 to, oh, is that from the?
What you're doing, these are percentage changes from the bases. So we're looking, what we use is our Global Insight U of A econometrics models. Mm-hmm. And out that far, this is what they're forecasting as of this last November. But I don't get real tied to those, Mayor, on.
Okay.
That's good planning, but I'm not real tied to those that far out.
Understood. I was just trying to figure out the logic behind that type of a flip.
It's the econometrics driving it at this point. Right. I'd have to look back to see exactly which personal income growth or which one that was driving me so much in that area, but I just don't recall. I'm sorry right now. Page 7, 0708, budget components. As I mentioned earlier, we've got the market survey adjustment and a 3% COLA in this budget. We do have Pinal County sales, land sales in 0708 of $6 million, but we put in what we've got out for the next 5 years there, just as a reminder, of $16 million. And then after that five-year period, it's $10 million a year until we, I believe it's around $76 million total that we've got in that forecast. Utility rate components, tentatively what we're coming forward with is electric at no increase, water at 5.5, wastewater at 7%, natural gas at 5%, solid waste residential at 5%, and solid waste commercial at 5.5%. Again, that's staying within the relative neutral dollars that we talked about in the forecast. So we raised water just a bit and wastewater a little more because we have some issues out in the future on an individual utility that we're trying to raise that area a little more to ramp up. Another program that we implemented based on the forecast is a vehicle replacement rolling stock replacement program that will be coming forward in the budget, and it's a plan to do long-term replacements on rolling stock. Page 8, timelines. April 16th, we'll be coming forward to the Transportation Infrastructure Committee on utility rates. Fees and charges?
Chuck, just a second. Quickly.
Sorry.
I know because there was a council committee that met on page 7, that last bullet. It's those council members that were on the, what's the name of the committee?
Neighborhood
community. We talked about. The question was, what was the date? And that I just want to point that out because I wasn't sure at that meeting. So I just want to, so you see the date for the discontinuing the subsidies. So, okay. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thanks, Chuck.
Is that a recommendation coming forward?
Mayor, when we presented to the council the last update on the financial forecast, we had made the that assumption, yes.
Okay. All right, and the spreadsheets for this, if I wanted to look at the Pinal County land sales and see how that $16 million is distributed over what years, how do I find that information?
Well, I can produce that for you, but if you still have your handouts from the November forecast, mm-hmm. It's in your attachment 2-1 and 2-2.
Okay. We can get you those.
We can get those to you, but I know exactly which page. If you wanted to see the schedule, they're on 2-2.
I think mine are on the back desk there. I can really find. You don't covet those, Tom?
He memorizes them.
I thought you might have it, Mayor.
All right. Obviously, what. If we were to look, and I'm probably not a good example here, some other governmental body, what you would try to do is you'd try to make sure that your forecasts for revenue coming in are high enough that you could finance whatever projects your heart desires or thinks that are beneficial to the city. So part of the discussion here obviously would be on if we think that the land sales are higher, you put another $10 million, that gives you some money to do fire stations or whatever else versus something else and delaying those. So part of the discussion with council really has to be under these assumptions, because once we adopt these assumptions, it drives what goes into the budget that is then appropriated for some type of expenditure. So and all I'm just saying is as you read through these drive that whole model. If you make a change, some of them can be fairly substantial, especially as they compound out.
Mayor, I think, Chuck, the plan is one of the reasons that the spreadsheet, the model, is being updated. We wanted, we're kind of giving you the historical and then some of the base assumptions, but we're going to go through one more update and then get that to the council to see that. So we'll try to get that to you as quickly as possible.
Because the assumption I always like to make is if there is a way to sell off some of that Pinal County land and then take that and take out some of the debt service so we don't have the debt service payments, then it's a long-term type of source of revenue to the city because you're offsetting something to, and you're not just spending the money that on a project that continues to cost more operation and maintenance or some other category. And I think we've had those discussions before on what do you do to with that money, one of which was as we work into if the voters do accept a secondary property tax, you do some offsets on it also. So it gets more complicated in a hurry as you look at this, but I just wanted to make everybody really conscious that the assumptions drive everything.
Right. And to kind of update you on that assumption in itself is a good example of being updated. When we did that last forecast, we'd had $10 million a year out through for $110 million, so 11 years. Mm-hmm. Well, when we saw that the housing cycle was going down and we didn't want to be in a pressured land sale situation, we backed off of that to allow us to approach that in a more professional or timely way.
Right. And hopefully everybody that sits in these seats looks at it for a 5 to 10 year and not what can I do next year and then somebody else has a problem after that. Okay. Vice Mayor.
Yeah, we've all had to deal with the consequences of that, haven't we?
Yes.
The thing I was thinking of, Chuck, when you were talking is that show right now called Deal or No Deal, where the host, Howie somebody, keeps telling everybody it's all about timing and luck. And I'm thinking this is the Pinal County thing is all about timing and luck. And the fact of the matter is we don't want to do a fire sale on our land and end up getting less value for the community than we would have. One of the things that would be helpful to me is if you could have the actuals on a couple of these things, the pattern that we've had over the last couple of years, particularly I'm thinking of the health insurance, life insurance coverage. At one point back in, I want to say it was around 2002, we were projecting increases of 15% a year, which when you compounded those, you're going to have to help me, Chuck. It was like 124 point.
It was huge. We had originally started this forecast, as you're correct, at 15%. We backed off to 12 for 1 year. We looked at history and said, well, maybe we can make 9. This is about the fourth reiteration. 9 wasn't going to do it with what we were seeing. So we went to 10.7, and I haven't heard them yell this year, so maybe we've gotten closer to what it's going to cost.
We're meeting this afternoon. We may yell later.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that it isn't just our moving around the numbers. We increased the premiums that the employees were paying.
Correct.
We increased the deductibles. We went on a different formulary for drug coverage. I mean, this has been a concerted effort of the Employee Benefits Advisory Committee and the Council of Employees who have been working on this and trying to cut this number back. Because my recollection was that over that 7-year period, if you kept that 15 or 15.2% or whatever it was we had, it was something like 124.2 million cumulatively that in terms of the number of dollars that we're talking about.
Correct. And that's a very good point. This is the city's share of the cost of those health care benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've not looked at that whole picture on the trust because there has been an impact to employees. That is very true.
And when you look at this from the employee side, they saw an increase in their contribution to the state retirement plan. They saw an increase in their costs for benefits. They saw an increase in their not just what it was coming out of their paycheck for their benefits, but what they were paying them when they went to the pharmacy, when they went to the doctor, anyplace else. At the same time, we weren't giving any raises. So, you know, there was no cost of living adjustment going on. So our employees have over the last, I would say it's been about 4 or 5 years, have really taken a hit. And as a result, we fell pretty far behind. And that's why this benchmarking survey, it's also unfortunately why we have seen a number of people leave the city. So. By the way, you did a great job on this. I mean, to get your numbers that close, that is absolutely amazing. It's all about timing and luck.
That's how I'll take credit for it. I think, as you can see, there's a lot of movement between the individual categories, but from the overall picture, we did a pretty good job.
See,
staff does a great job.
This was your opportunity to say, well, now that Jamie's gone.
Well, no. Jamie gets a lot of credit for a lot
Jamie
of this
Jamie gets a whole lot of credit. Thank you.
And Vice Mayor, I'd like to add, you mentioned retirement contributions, and we're anticipating at least one more jump. We've been notified starting July 1 that there'll be another jump for the Arizona State Retirement System again. And so that'll be a shared, it's an equal contribution for both the city side as well as the employee side again.
What about the ASPSRS? That's not an equal contribution. That's all us.
That's all us. The employee is capped, and it's all us, and it's pretty significant.
And are we getting another huge one there?
Yes.
Okay.
And PSPRS, yes.
Okay. Page 8, timelines. As I said, mentioned first, April 16th is the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee for the utility rates. The 19th will be the Audit and Finance Committee for fees and charges and the utility rates again. The 27th, we're targeting on delivering the budget, preliminary budget book and CIP documents to the council. May 3rd, we'll have a more comprehensive 06-07 update, and we'll start looking at the 07-08 and 08-09 projections for building the budget. May 21st is a study session for potential adjustments to the preliminary budget from the council. May 21st to adopt the utility rate notice of intent. May 24th, establish the tentative budget. The 31st, tentative budget presented. And the 4th, adopt the tentative budget and introduce the utility rate ordinances. The 28th is budget adoption and utility rate adoption. And July 1st, 07-08 begins, and revised utility rates become effective for billing cycles ended on or after August 29th. And what we'll be doing is going into page 10 and so forth through study sessions throughout this time period. We'll be bringing forward topical areas that we're going to be talking about, so the budget will be kind of never ending from this point on. So. Just some of the budget discussion items we're looking at. Again, the forecast and overview. We'll be looking at public safety and fire with police technology initiatives, the SROs, the quality of life officers, incarceration cost, emergency medical response pilot program, overtime, the academies, the utility rates. We'll be doing another transportation update, the building activity with permits, compensation, benefit, and pensions, commercial facilities, and any miscellaneous items such as election funding and the McNeil County land, and any other items that you don't see on this list that you might view as important coming forward.
I think the one other one that we've kind of haven't locked in on is if we do a secondary property tax and put an election out depending on the election cycle. If it's on one cycle in 07 versus another cycle in 08, how does it affect expenditures and forecasts?
Well, it's very significant from the standpoint of what you have available for in the future. So what we do in the first year is going to have significant more impact in the future than it really does in the first year because of the availability of the funding. We get back to the timing issue. So it's going to be as you wish type of thing going forward. And we'll plan there. But what we'll do now is plan from the worst case scenario is from budget expenditure limits and do the election timing and so forth as if we're going forward, and then we'll back off based on your wish.
Right. And then I guess another one would be what's the scenario if the home rule option does not pass?
Then we're back to a special election in May that whole election scenario of the council elections in the fall.
Mayor, let me make sure I clarify the question. Is it about the election or that the actual home rule lid limit doesn't?
You put the election on the ballot and it fails, or you don't have the opportunity to put it on the ballot and you can't spend the money.
Well, then we'll be coming back with more layoffs than we ever saw before. I don't know if you want, I mean, that budget would be prepared. We'd have to have that contingency, I guess, if we assume the election dates are changed to the March a year from now, then, and if it failed then, you know, we would literally be cutting $23 million out of the budget. So I would say that we would be, I don't know, I mean, it would be pretty much a crisis mode at that point to lay people off.
But I like the scenario that we did when we went for the sales tax, property tax. I mean, this is a little different because it's money that we've already agreed to collect. And it's just, so I would have trouble believing that people wouldn't accept it. But if they did, I like the option of at least having this council think through, and what cuts do we make? And that may be just me. Maybe everyone else is comfortable thinking that.
Yeah, we could think about that. The only thing that concerns me is when you start talking about how you'd cut $23 million out of the budget and you start lining up all the positions. I know what that does to employees that may be affected. They start looking pretty quickly to get out of town. So it's let's think about that and how we address that. But it'd be a $23 million recurring expense cut. You couldn't just cut it out at one time. So
yeah.
No, well, it's netting out to 23. It's $100 million.
Right. It's a $100 million impact.
Okay, Mike.
What's the date of our hearings? Have we decided that yet? Individual department hearings?
Well, all these topics would be covered in a variety of Thursdays.
You're not going to do a full week then, like we had?
Well, I guess that's up to the council. What we'd like to do, actually, is begin on the items that are on the 10th, or on page 10, we're going to start bringing those to council as early as next Thursday and just continue through the month.
Okay.
Bringing these topics. If there's something other than what you see on, I guess, pages 10 and 11, as far as topics to be covered, let us know. And what we're going to try to do is take this and schedule it. Councilman Whalen, I guess that's the best answer. If we can make it work with the available Thursdays, and that's why we wanted to kind of get started a little bit sooner. But if there happens to be a week because there's questions and the need to follow up, then I guess we would schedule that sometime in the May, month of May, one of those weeks.
But as we've done in the past, we won't take a full week and go through each department's presentation.
If the council so desires, we can be prepared to do that. At this point, our suggestion was, because there's not a lot of changes in the other areas, we kind of try to identify topics. And you'll see, you know, the largest departments most likely coming through here, and thought maybe that would be more beneficial to kind of deal with topics. Because a lot of times, as you saw, because I think it was last week, when we had the presentation on the action team, the concept, you had police, neighborhood services, code, and that's kind of we're thinking of maybe presenting it that way so you get the full picture concept. But if we want to review all the different departments, we can certainly schedule that too.
Other questions? Vice Mayor.
One of the things that I'd like to get on here is, at some point in the near future, is a review of what's been happening with the 0.3 sales tax that was passed for streets. There has been a misperception in the community because we've been talking about the regional transportation plan and what we couldn't fund in the regional transportation plan. I've seen some blogs in the paper and things like that where people are misunderstanding what's going on here, and they don't understand that 0.3 has been spent on street reconstructions, on street improvements all over the community, and it is being spent as we told people would be spent. And so I want to make sure that gets covered. After all that conversation about the RTP and, well, we aren't going to be able to build this or build that, there is a you know, I think we've got some additional explaining that has to go on. The other thing that I like how we're doing this, and just for full disclosure, I have a wedding in mid-May that I have to be at, and there is no way I'm missing that wedding. So I'm just telling you all, if you schedule on that day, I won't be here. But other than that, the one concern I have is that there may be a department or two that we want to look at that don't quite fit into the whole, you know, like we did that discussion of that you were referencing, Chris, where we had police and code and all those people together, and that's libraries. There's been a significant impact to libraries as a result of the budget cuts, and I want to look at whether there are any things that we can do to assist the library. they've been doing an incredible job with what they have. And I was thinking as I was checking out a book the other day how when I was a kid, they used to write down, there was a lady there and she would write down what you checked out. And not at the Mace Public Library, I grew up in upstate New York, but they'd write it down and they put a little card in a little file. And how that's changed now, you go in and you do it yourself. You put your own card under, you check it out. There's nobody there doing it, you're doing it yourself, which is great. But there, we still have the hours issues. So if we could look at some of those things. Thank you.
I guess the as we've gone through the budget cycle, we've gotten input from senior staff and from yourself. I know you came from San Antonio, and if you have any magic wand here that says here's some best practices if you're not following yet or anything else that's out there nationally that we can adopt or do differently to provide service at or hopefully better than the existing
level.
Like
the secondary property tax?
Well, not quite what I had.
No, that wasn't the question. No, but maybe there are some things actually that we are going to talk about. I think in the vehicle replacement program, that's something new that we're bringing forward to kind of have a longer term perspective. So some of those will be incorporated in these topics. So we'll do that.
Okay. Mike?
A session also, Chris, on how we're going to ferret out the bond proposals, the projected bond proposals. Sooner than later, because I'd like to be able to start talking about specific items. You know, are you going to bring public safety through the public safety committee to look at? I think we are.
Mayor, Councilman Whalen, that's a great question. Let's just maybe get on the same page here. We have what we had asked in the public safety committee right now, because there's such a large list that's coming before you, and I think you're scheduled. Yeah, we now on the 23rd? Does that sound right?
Yet what the date's
I think that's
going to
be. The latest. Is that there were items that the police and fire departments had were requesting or asked us to consider that were not put on the current list that's in front of the council. So really the idea was the public safety committee was going to kind of work through those specific projects alone. Not necessarily I guess if they wanted to, you could go back and look at all the others, but for purposes of timeliness was really to kind of look at the ones that had not been moved forward. What our plan was is to kind of wait for that public safety committee to kind of go through. I am concerned though that it is April 23rd and we're getting a little bit later. I kind of was hoping really by April 24th is that would be the date that we give the public safety committee an opportunity to kind of weigh in. If there were other projects you felt like needed to be moved forward, the 24th we would bring to council a proposed listing. Again, we get more specific, really show the project specifically, whether they were in police, fire, and streets, and show you that list and go back kind of the way Brian's been summarizing the total cost and the impact on the tax rate and all that calculation, and bring that to council on the 24th for your opportunity to kind of say more or less than this as far as the listing, or we can all support these projects or not these projects, and that was kind of the plan if that would work for council, and that would help us establish the capital budget too going forward for the council. So
on a Tuesday the 24th,
did I say 24th? Oh, I meant, I'm sorry,
26.
Sorry.
So the 23rd is because I'd been given a couple.
Yeah, that's currently I have the 23rd.
What time?
At 3:30. Okay. Anyway.
And then will we do the same thing with the transportation projects? Is that going to go back to transportation, or is that pretty well?
That's actually the Mayor, Councilman Whalen, the Transportation Committee in its prior form, I think, is when we took it. Okay. They saw those, and so I think we can bring those back. We'll just continue with what we have.
Then hopefully we'll make those decisions as to what goes forward on the 26th.
If any, yes. And again, considering what we have already. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Rex?
You know, I still talk to people, and there's a huge confusion on primary versus secondary property tax. You know, secondary property tax, we've always issued bonds for parks and police stations with no repayment source. We just hoped we'd have enough income out of sales tax and we'd pay them. And that's not a good way to run a city as we've grown. A secondary property tax says, if you want a new fire station, if you want a new police station, here's what it costs, $2.2 million. It's about 3 cents per thousand. Do you want it and it goes away in 15 years? You know what you get, what it's going to cost, and do you want to pay for it or not? Do you want 4-minute response times, or do you want it to go to 6-minute response times? You know, and so you know what you're getting and what you want to pay for. And I still have a hard time explaining that to people, but it's not a blank check you're giving to government. You know what you're going to get, and it's the way that every other city in this whole valley pays for their bonds, and we never have. And that's one of the reasons the financial model of the city has not been a good one. So my take on secondary property tax and bonds.
Vice Mayor.
I think there's one other item, and that was cost recovery on things. We were doing that last year. We were looking at it, and how are we doing with that? And are there additional areas that have been identified? And then I think I talked to a couple of people about looking at the rental tax, which right now you have to have 3 units in order to have rental tax charged. Why randomly 3 units? Why should this person have an advantage over this person who has 2? You know, why not 2? So
okay.
I think we were going to look at that.
And probably within the departments they look at it, but some of the big ticket items, redoing 91st Avenue wastewater treatment plant, or the landfill closing, so we have to do more haul someplace. Those things kind of creep up and bite you once in a while on the magnitude of some of those expenses, if something. So just kind of take a look out there and see if there's any big projects that we have an earmarked.
Okay.
Mike.
Debbie, maybe you can help me on this. Does the charter prohibit specific taxes for specific projects? Are we limited to one sales tax or use tax within the city? And example being, different cities have different tax rates for contractor construction. Different cities have different tax rates for telecommunications. Are we limited by charter as to what we can charge, or is that something that the council action can impose?
It depends on the rate. We don't have specific prohibitions to taxes, except the charter requires that certain taxes be approved by the voters prior to implementation. So we might have to go out to the voters, depending on what type of tax the council is considering.
Well, we already have the tax in place for telecommunications and for construction. Does it set the rate, or do we have to go to the voters on every rate, or does the council have authority to adjust rates? I.e., Phoenix has a telecommunications tax of 4.8%. It's a huge amount of money that they generate, which, you know, once again, here we are. I'm not saying that we should go out and tax our people more money, but the disparity between communities is not realized. Different cities around the valley that are growing rapidly have upwards of 3% and 4% construction taxes that we're not taking. You know, new growth paying for new growth, and I think, you know, that's something that we should at least talk about, as to are we prohibited from doing that, or is it something that we can look at?
Well, what the charter says, it says we're obviously limited by the provisions of the Constitution, the state law, and the charter. Those are the only limitations. In terms of our charter, it requires that if we go above a 1% transaction privilege tax, we need to go to voter approval, which we have been. We cannot impose a income tax unless approved by the voters. Real estate tax must be approved by the voters, and personal property tax must be approved by the voters. Those are the only limitations in our charter.
I'm not trying to get more taxes out of our community, but I'm just looking at when we compare apples to apples, I think we once again fall at the lower scale, and it shows that our residents are getting a much better deal by living here than other locations, where nobody seems to know the tax rates in other communities. It's just kind of like the hidden trust that goes about.
Well, if council wants us to take a look at some of the other cities, I'm sure the tax unit, as well as my tax attorney, would do that and at least inform council, here's what some of the other cities are charging.
I think it just helps us, if we're going to go forward and look at a secondary, it helps the citizens understand we're still getting a better deal here. I mean, maybe that's not something that we can convey, but it's certainly something that happens. And then on a second subject, Chris, I would hope that we would have a meeting soon with the HOACAM organization to try to figure out some sort of a way to go forward on HOACAM revenues.
Yes, Councilman, we need to meet and kind of talk about where we stand on that.
And, you know, whatever recovery we would get from that organization, in my opinion, would be very small compared to the overall problem that we face of increasing debt service. Is there any way that debt service could be restructured, or is there any way that perhaps even we could, knowing that the Chicago Cubs are valuable to Mesa, that the voters could look at some sort of additional revenue source for stadium improvements or something in the future, because when our contract runs out, that's something that we don't have any reserves to cover. There's no more TSA money available, and I think the Cubs may ask for some more in the future.
You know, Mayor, Councilman Wayland, that's really the impetus for that conversation, is that not only do we have a rising debt service there, and meaning that the city's subsidy of the operations continues to grow, which is something that's built into our forecast, but it's the concern is, where are we putting aside the dollars so we don't repeat where we are, what the situation we are today, and how do we sustain the capital facility that's out there today? That's one of our concerns, is we have continue to see costs rise on a variety of different capital items, facility improvements, equipment to maintain fields that are hitting that operation that are concerned. And so one of the things we're trying to look at is, are we truly maximizing the opportunities for advertising and concessions? And that's really what we want to do. And one of the things we want to do is compare, look at the other Cactus League operations and see how we stand. We think we have by far the best setup. We have the best team. We have the best operations. The Hoes have done a great job out there and helping us, and we get the greatest attendance out there. And I think it's not just, I mean, it is because of Cubs, but I think we provide an atmosphere that is unique. And so what we want to do is come up with a strategy that allows us to sustain this for the long term and develop what those costs are going to be, and making sure we're really being smart about how we go about leveraging the marketing and advertising opportunities out there. And so that's the conversation we need to sit down and have, yourself and the representatives from the host.
I think this is an example of a little bit of a change in philosophy on what we have done in the past, in that we used to look at the citywide debt, but we wouldn't particularly care too much about one project and its terms of repayment, because we would structure the whole debt for the whole city aggregately out. And now what we're trying to do is we're trying to match the debt service to the project, to do it more like an enterprise, so you can check it year to year more, a little bit more transparent and easily. So in making that switch, there's some of them that there was a good reason to not have any principal payments for a few years, because the principal payments were used up someplace else and we wanted to extend it out, and we used that as a vehicle to do so. So I think that's a good example of what we're doing now. I think it makes a lot more sense to link projects with your debt service on them if you can do it, but there's also some logic between, this is easier to structure the bonds this way and the forecast to get your payments, because if you have one huge water treatment plant and you try to pay it off and 5 years or whatever, and it has to be loaded on top of the existing, it just doesn't fit. We usually try to do everything within 20 years, but some of those projects have to be out, and the principal payments out in the 20-year category, because you've already loaded up the rest of your system. So I think that's a switch in what we're doing, and I approve of it, that it's project specific. It doesn't work unless there's some type of transition. And I think that's what we're trying to work towards. Vice Mayor.
Keno, most of us, I don't know if you were on the council in 95 when the whole I think it was 95, wasn't it, when the whole Com Stadium thing was?
Sounds familiar.
It could have been 96, but it was sometime. And I remember I was on the school board at the time, and I came, my neighborhood is next to whole Com Stadium. And so I remember coming and speaking to the council about the street and needing to abandon the street that would have gone through. But there are a lot of us here, if not all of us here, who were not part of that. I know Mike and Keno are members of the HOCOM, so they're probably a lot more aware of when the contract expires and all those kinds of things. But maybe a little update on that for the rest of us, a reminder of where we are, and Mike's comments about when that's coming, you know, when that's happening again. I don't remember what the timeline is for that. I think the last time I recall having an update on it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. getting a really thorough.
Well, we actually did last year. I think we presented the schedules, and we have it on the schedule too. Again, we'll show you kind of. But the good news is attendance is high. The new concessionaire did very well, and there's some real positive things that are taking place. I think we just kind of, it's a philosophy. I think the mayor said too, is kind of identifying kind of the structure that's in place today, and then getting some realizing that there is a termination, and we know that the Cubs are, I guess, are up for sale. I read in the paper, and so they're, and I think Councilman Whalen's right, we need to anticipate that there will need to be some upgrades, which you would anticipate with all the new stadiums going on, are being proposed and being built in the area. You're going to want to, you know, teams are going to want to kind of continue to upgrade. So it's just trying to plan ahead and anticipate that as we move along. But we will bring that forward to the council.
Chris, I didn't mean to suggest you hadn't updated us on what's going on at Holcomb Stadium right now. I just meant the whole history of the whole thing.
Oh, that.
Yeah. I didn't mean, no, you guys tell us every year and all that. I just meant the whole thing. Thank you.
Other questions on the budget?
Just one more thing on that. I think the community needs to know when you bring a spring training team into your community, it's not just for the month of March. We have commitments for year-round activities for minor leagues and instructional leagues. So our enterprise account takes a hit for the entire year at both Fitch and at Holcomb. So it's not just, we pay for all our activities in 1 month, supposedly, for the whole year. Or we try to pay for the activities in 1 month.
We only get real revenues during 1 month to cover 11 months, the 11 months of activity.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And congratulations on being that accurate. that's the standard we'll hold you to next year.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Item number two is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the potential City Indian Grant, Gaming Grant project request, I think better known as the 12% money. So.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. As you know, in November of 2002, Arizona voters approved Proposition 202, which was the 17 Tribe Indian Gaming Compact Initiative. As part of that initiative, it required that a portion of the gaming revenues that are shared with the state, that 12% of those become eligible to be shared with municipalities. Municipalities can then serve as the agent to also get these funds, a portion of these funds, to nonprofits or education communities. Last year, the council approved a process where we would do an annual review to look at a list of potential gaming grant requests. The reason for this is that we're now dealing with five different tribal communities to submit gaming requests to. They all have different rules, regulations, timelines. So what we have done in the past month is we have solicited input from all of the departments for potential ideas. We received over 32 potential requests. Staff reviewed those also with Debbie Dollar and the city manager, and believe that have brought forward for the council consideration and approval 18 project ideas that we would then use for possible submittal throughout the year. I'd like to now turn it over to Jerry Dillahay, who is our grants coordinator and is going to go through a brief PowerPoint outlining some of the history as well as the proposed projects.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning, Council. Since the passage in 2002, there are about 17 Indian tribes who have opted to share grants with local communities. Geographically, some of those tribes will pick the communities that are closest to them. However, we're finding that, and you'll see later in a later slide, there are actually some tribes that are far away from Mesa who are also interested, because some of our large nonprofits that also apply for these grants service their populations. The city has applied for, since the beginning of the program, and when I say city, I'm going to include the nonprofits, because we are sort of locked in with the nonprofits and the City of Mesa projects. So this overview is going to summarize for you the greater community of Mesa. $9,052,000 roughly has been applied for over the four-year period, actually 3.5 years, and we received $2.3 million. 7 grants have been awarded to the city, 5 to Mesa Public Schools, and 4 to other nonprofits. 3 grants are still pending. We're hoping to get an answer on those in July. To give you a quick sense of what the competition is, I developed a slide to show you the big purple blob, $6.3 million, which is not funded. To give you a better perspective of what the competition is, before you ask me, and it's not in the complete overview, city projects last year, you authorized last year a list of a little over $3 million for 9 projects. We submitted 9 projects to 4 tribes, and city projects, we only received 3 projects out of the 9, totaling $220,000. So the competition is pretty rough. We're trying to think more strategically about that and trying to get a better sense of what the priorities are with each one of the tribes, and they're all different. Another thing we're trying to do is develop a closer relationship with some of those tribes, because we're finding that at least with the Native Americans, the relationship that you build is very important. It's not like a government grant where you just write a good grant and cross your fingers and hope they'll fund you. The distribution within the city, I know there is concern, and rightly so, that city projects are getting their fair share of the take of what we're applying for, because you probably get tired of me bringing up resolutions throughout the year to support nonprofit projects, thinking, well, they're possibly competing with city projects. So we produced this slide to give you a sense of how the city projects are stacking up, and 43% of the projects that have been either awarded or are still pending are City of Mesa projects. Mesa Public Schools is 17%, and other nonprofits within the community are about 25%. Historically, the amount of funding that has come to the greater community of Mesa across the years, we're hopefully showing a slight improvement. I think by the end of 2007, we will be able to match last year's $950,000. We're working on it, and I think that's because the next slide will show you that we've expanded the tribes that we are approaching. Some of the tribes will not accept applications unless you're invited, and we have garnered 2 invitations in the last year, so we're beginning to deal with the Ok-Chin community and the Fort McDowells. So we've added 2 more tribes to submit projects for. That's why we're being a little more aggressive with you on the list this year. It's bigger, it's more projects, and we hopefully will have a greater array of opportunities because of the increase in tribal participation. Just to review quickly the process that where we engage council is, as Jim mentioned, once a year we bring to you a list of potential projects. I call it my fishing bucket because as the grants coordinator working with all the departments, it becomes critical that we have ideas that are sellable that we can then package and be successful. And that's what we're going to be doing in just a minute, is bringing you that annual list. Throughout the year, we receive, you receive, the mayor receives, they come in from all directions sometimes. The large nonprofits in our community and Mesa Public Schools approach us asking for resolutions of support. We actually have to file the application for them. We have to manage the grant for them. It's a pass-through program. As you had agreed to last year, as those projects come in, if they're in the same cycle with a city grant project that we're working on with one of our departments, we analyze that, and when we bring the resolution forward to you for your consideration, if it seems to be in direct competition, a case in point, a nonprofit submits an education project. The tribes fund in silos of priority. Generally, those are economic development, transportation, human services, education, health, those sort of silos. If an education project from a nonprofit came to you, and at the same time, we were working on an education project, let's say, at the Art Center. My report to you, the resolution, might be for denial to support that, because it would be in direct competition with the same tribe in that same fund. So far, we've got our fingers crossed that has not happened. If it does, rest assured, we will apprise you of that, because you have to pass a resolution of support or they can't apply. The staff determination of potential conflicts is contained in the report recommending or denying or recommending denial of a resolution. Moving along right to the list, as Jim said, we put out a cattle call about 2 months ago and been working extensively across the city in developing project ideas. There again, our ideas are a little more strategic this year than last year. They are generally smaller in amounts because what we're finding is a lot of the tribes are overextending their awards. They're giving multi-year awards, which are committing future councils. They're doing things that are limiting their ability to make everybody happy at the same time, basically. And that's traditional in any new grant program with anybody, not just the tribes. So we're finding that smaller grants stack up better. They don't automatically, you can't submit a million-dollar project and hope that they'll give you $15,000. You submit a million-dollar project, they may just throw it on the pile because you've asked for too much. So we're trying to think strategically about a larger list of smaller projects. But we're also trying to find those that have what I say is a human element, those that provide a direct service to the communities that the tribes care about, particularly where there's a tribal connection or where there's underserved populations. I'll go through real quick, and we have hopefully behind me here folks from all the departments that have projects on this list that can go into more detail than I'm able to, but I can rattle through pretty quick a little more information about each one of these. The neighborhood tools project, starting at the top, is the purchase of tools and a trailer for homeowner improvement program that the Neighborhood Services Department submitted. Youth Theater Scholarships is at the Mesa Arts Center, and it's to provide free and reduced lunch to children scholarships to attend youth theater productions. We got a grant last year from the Salt River to do performances at the theaters, at the large theaters, and this would continue that idea, but at the youth theater specific. Also from the Art Center, we have a project that would take the gallery that's now I think called the Community Gallery, it's the one closest to Main Street, and equip it out with Indian art and audio production and everything else that would focus on Native American art. Youth Museum Scholarships also, we have a project pending before the Ak-Chin community right now, and this would extend that possibility to provide outreach and youth scholarships for a lot of school kids attending the youth museum. Mesa Grande is a repeat from last year. We submitted this project to the Salt River last year and it was denied. I think a lot of things have changed that will give it a better chance of being considered. We feel like it has a good chance because it will give us the opportunity to do something at Mesa Grande and start a project that would be a point of pride not only for us but also for the Native Americans. We have two projects from the library because Salt River has a real propensity for funding our library, which is great because they have a lot of kids who use our public library and it's a good connection. So we actually asked for a second one from the library. And we have three youth tech centers at all three library branches, and also a project to upgrade all of our public computers. We were successful last year with the Gilas in getting a grant to our utilities department to fund a water conservation project within our city services area for low-income houses. This is a mirrored kind of project that looks at the same issue, energy savings with heating and air conditioning units. Continuing on with the project, we have two park playground ADA upgrades. They actually submitted 11. We're that far behind in updating our playgrounds across the city. It's alarming, but we didn't see how we could really apply for more than two. So we're going to be selecting from those 11 projects the two parks that are strategically closest to the Salt River Pima that could be could service their population as well. Those are probably going to be Porter and Gene Autry. The Broadway Rec Center you've seen before on a list, and it continues to be one of the highest priorities within our Parks and Rec Department, and that is because they're still working on a swamp cooler that I think is pretty much wrapped together with masking tape, and it's been that way for years, and it's a great priority. It's a great project. We think we'll be able to sell that because of the service area. That's $160,000. Whitman Park, you've seen that before. The reason that's on the list, because it extends to night use when in a dark park, and it's a way to get a second park out of existing park by adding area lighting. One, two, three, four projects that follow are fire projects. We have continued to submit fire projects. We think that the Gilas, we haven't submitted the Gilas. We've always been hitting the salts. We think we're going to approach the Gilas because the Gilas are the only ones that provide public information on which projects they have funded. They don't have to comply with the public information law like we do. So they're the only ones that publish the list of projects. The Gilas put it up on their internet site. So we've been tracking that, and fire and police are big ticket items for the Gilas. So we're going to try to repackage some of our fire grants to the Gilas this year. Some of these projects, I think most of them you have seen before, the thermal imagers, the heart monitors. The public high-risk injury prevention is targeted to our elderly and most at-risk population, and the breathing devices for firefighters. We have three projects from police. They submitted a list of about eight or nine public safety program outreach projects that need supplies, and we put them all together in one for 22-6. We think we can really sell that project. And the training facility upgrade is, as I understand it, they're building frames for a business so that when the recruits are trained how to evacuate a business, they can use this facility. It's kind of like the tower that's out there that the fire department burns. So this will be for police training academy. And the plate readers, as I understand it, that's the vehicles that allow you to read license plates. So with that, I'll close. And if you have specific questions or details about the projects, we can probably get some of my cohorts up here to answer them.
Okay. Questions? Vice Mayor.
I may have a slightly different take on this than some other folks, Jerry. By the way, thanks for your work on this. I know you really work hard on it, and I appreciate it. First of all, the improved relationships with our neighboring communities is a good thing regardless of whether we get grants or not, because there are so many benefits that come from that that just are intangible. I mean, and there are some that are tangible as well. I think the thing that I'm struggling with is this notion that it's kind of what the mayor talks about with CAP and CAWCD. We are the ones who are making the recommendation. You have to go through us, but we're competing with you. It just feels weird. So I guess my preference would be that if somebody comes forward with a good project, we recommend the project. If it's not a good project, if they're not a reputable entity, then, or we don't have a track record with them, then I can see our not recommending it. But I'm having a hard time saying, I'm going to say Mesa Public Schools project, I won't recommend because their art department is recommending it versus the Mesa Arts Center recommending it. Or a nonprofit in the community is wanting to do something like the LIHEAP thing that you have on here for the low-income heating and air conditioning program. We won't recommend theirs because we have ours. I'm not comfortable with that at all, and I don't know if we gave you that direction last year. I didn't remember that, but I don't know how everybody else feels. But that component of it, I'm just simply not comfortable with.
Tom.
I concur in that, although, Claudia, I don't think that's what we're being asked to do today, because that. But I agree that if we shouldn't just automatically preclude other people from applying because it conflicts with what we may be trying to do. On today's list, I guess I have a couple of questions, though. I notice under the Broadway Recreation Center, you put in there unbudgeted O&M, but you didn't do that on the Mesa Grande. if that building, those buildings are built and those trails are open, aren't there going to be recurring costs to the city to keep that open and operate it and run it?
I don't know whether Tom Wilson's here or not. While he's coming up, I'll start answering that. There is a revenue generator there, too, with admissions, so maybe that will impact it somewhat.
Well, I wish that solved the problem for the Mason Museum and the Art Museum as well, but it hasn't seemed to, so.
Councilmember Rawls, in the current project, we don't anticipate operating, very significant operating costs, because this will just be opening trails for people to come. We're going to use volunteers to staff that, and so it'll be very minor utility cost, probably about $5,000 a year.
Well, there's discussion in here about an administration and educational building.
That, I think, is an incorrect addition on there. That would be the final product, would be the building. These are for interpretive trails, for signage, for shelters, and for restrooms.
Okay, so is the $600,000 include the just what you described, or does it also include the administration and educational building?
It would not include the building, the administration.
Okay, well, that's important. That's important to know, because
yes.
Okay, because I have real problems at this point seeking grants that then compel us to spend money to keep the make the grant worthwhile.
So there's no increased operation and management
okay.
costs.
Okay, thank you for that. The other issue, and it's not addressed to you, Tom, is the police and fire. There seems to be a limited market for those, and so I mean, if I were to prioritize these 18 projects, I'd put police and fire up top, because that's the priorities that this council has set as to where we want to try to spend our money. But I'm getting the impression that there's not a lot of the tribes are interested in funding those kinds of projects.
In our tracking, and a lot of this hearsay just by contacting other people that are applying, because as I say, the information is limited. Initially, there were a lot of fire and police grants awarded across the state. A lot of them were awarded in very, very small places, small towns. Not a lot of them were awarded to larger cities, so there's a bias there.
Right.
And now there's fewer, so there's almost a double bias. So it is going to be more difficult.
Okay. Have the police and fire departments prioritized the fire department their respective four projects and the police their respective three? Because again, if there's a narrow niche, I think you do better if you tell everybody clearly, this is what I really want, you know, here's some secondary projects, but I don't think I'd just submit four from the fire department on an equal basis and three from the police department on an equal basis. I think there needs to be an expressed preference by us as to what's the most important. And so I'm curious as to whether or not the respective departments have prioritize their projects.
If we submit more than one project to a particular tribe, say the Salts, so say we submitted two fire projects, generally they will call and ask us to prioritize them. But now we have four tribes to submit to. So, you know, we could split them.
Yeah, but see, my way of doing it, I think, is if for instance, if the breathing apparatus is really what we want from the fire department and the license plate readers is what we really want from the police department, I'd rather submit four applications for breathing apparatus to four different tribes and three different applications for license plate readers to three different tribes or four different tribes, if that's possible.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, yeah, we will definitely try to do that. I mean, one of the things that we do is, as I think we mentioned earlier, is many of the tribes kind of give us either through their priorities that they've established or indirect, for instance, like the Salt River Maricopa Pima Indian community, which we have probably our longest relationship with. We meet with them generally early on in the process. We kind of float our priorities, and they give us some generally informal feedback. And so we kind of like give what we think are the city's top priorities first. They may direct us to mm-hmm. maybe focus here or there. And you know, I think one of the things I'd like to mention too is, I think last year, you know, we were probably, many of us were a little disappointed, perhaps in the not receiving more funds from the SRP MIC. community. Part of, I believe, what happened on that was because, as Jerry mentioned, they had, in years past, had done multiple-year commitments, but they made a decision, and at basically the 11th hour, that they weren't going to do consider any multi-year projects. Well, we had a couple multi-year projects that were submitted last year because that was kind of the direction that had been previously done, and we were kind of told that that was the way to go. Well, they made, you know, at the near the end of the process, they just said, we're not funding anything that's a multi-year request. So I think that ended up hurting us. So, you know, there's also this year, and I think there's a meeting now already on the calendar. They have a new president, new vice president, and I know that there's both going to be a lunch with the mayor and staff, as well as talking with Larry Landry, who represents them, that they intend to invite the entire council to dinner. So, you know, this is part of this, too, is, and not just for this, it's the ongoing relationship building, and certainly with the Salt River, we have many, many, many dealings with them on many issues.
What I'm trying to convey here is that we are competing against ourselves, as well as potentially competing against Mesa Schools and other nonprofits on some of these projects. So I think it would behoove us to really identify whether it's arts and culture, whether it's libraries, whether it's parks and recreations, whether it's fire, whether it's police, what we really, really want, and then pound away on those. So I'd be more interested in submitting six applications, you know, for the projects we really want than 18 from a shotgun approach and hope that we hit a responsive button. Now, I don't mind laying all 18 out of there, out sort of in front of them in the preliminary process and get some feedback, but I think you need to target rather than, you know, use rifle shots rather than shotguns.
And Mayor and Councilmember Rawls, I think that is what staff's approach would be. This is intended to give us, you know, a starting point, that okay, these are the 18 projects that are deemed, what we have seen, deemed to be most likely to qualify. What we would, and I think the odds of us submitting all 18 are fairly low.
That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that even though we approve 18 through the process, we're going to narrow this down and say these are the things that we really would like to have your assistance on, and try to tailor our presentations to their willingness to help. So, okay, I think we're on the same page, and I don't find much efficacy in sending out 18 scattered applications and just hope something sticks to the wall. Okay.
Scott?
I'm sure staff is also going to be looking at other funding opportunities for these grants outside of just the Indian reservations. I'm looking at fire grants for the public safety, and the thermal imaging cameras and sets of turnouts are, we can apply to USC grant money for that, urban area security initiatives, fire grants, and a few others. So I would hope, and I'm looking at one of our fire chiefs in the back there, that we'll be applying for this not only through this program, but also through USC and the Fire Act program. So hopefully we'll pick up some funding from somewhere, not just this one.
I've really never liked the whole process, and we've never been able to figure out one that works. I mean, if there's 12% money that's supposed to be distributed back to the local communities, you know, do it by population or something else and just do it, and then let them prioritize their own spending instead of having this grant application trying to match all this stuff up. It, to me, it just was a poorly written bill, whoever decided that that's the way the monies were going to be distributed originally, but now we're living with what's out there and trying to make the best of, in my opinion, not a real smooth situation at all. So, Mike?
Jerry, do we have a list of nonprofits also that have made application to us?
No, we don't request that. We don't notify them.
So they make application directly to the tribe?
No. They approach the city for a resolution of support for us to apply for them.
I see.
And there is no timetable for that because since it's not our grant program, we feel a little awkward about putting out a call for applications for resolutions. So it's really their schedule. It's really their schedule to determine when they approach the city and ask for a resolution.
And Councilmember Whalen, we do bring, and Vice Mayor Walters, we do bring forward all requests from the nonprofits to the city council for their consideration. As Jerry indicated, we may or may not know that this is a project that could potentially compete with a project that we are also submitting, but we're not making the determination as staff whether to, we're bringing those forward for your consideration as to whether you ought to adopt a resolution for submission. Many of those nonprofits are invited by invitation only. A tribal community notifies them that talk to the city, we'd like to give you money, get a resolution from the city. Others aren't. Others are out there actively, you know, coming up with ideas, coming to us, and then put together a resolution for your consideration.
Is the grant process the same timeline for each tribe,
No.
or is it a year-round process?
It's so confusing, Councilmember Whalen. They all have different fiscal years. You can imagine what that compounds in terms of deadlines. By legislation, they have to release, they're overseen by the Department of Gaming on a quarterly basis, their revenues. And they either have to have something in place to commit, or technically we thought they were all going to be giving on quarterly basis, which was going to drive everybody crazy. But most of them, in generalities, give out twice a year, and it's generally in the spring and generally in the fall, but I can't give you a succinct date because it keeps a moving target, it keeps changing.
I'd just like to put a plug in for the arts and culture folks who follow the bottom of the food chain as far as receiving monies. It's easy sometimes to support police and fire. This council's made that determination, but falling by the wayside are the cultural projects that I think we need to look outside of our city for funding for those, because we're not funding them ourselves. Just my personal opinion.
Okay. Rex?
Yeah, this process, I believe, was designed by legislature, so the Indian tribe probably isn't even more thrilled than we are with the whole process, but that's the process we have to work within. You know, I'm just looking at the police license plate reader. A lot of the gang activities, I understand, on the reservations is financed by the stolen cars coming off of here into chop shops, shooting their policemen, et cetera. They might be very interested in stopping some of this activity and financing of some of the gangs there.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of things you can partnership, and it's a win-win situation for both sides of the river, the Salt Pima and the Fort McDowell, et cetera. So I think most of these are, in the universe of projects, are fairly good. Boiling it down to what they're interested in, what our interests are, I think will be a good process. So thank you for bringing these to us.
Okay. Any more information on this one? Questions? All right. Thank you very much. Number three is her reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Any updates? Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Yesterday we had the dedication of the Greenfield Water Reclamation Plant. Mr. Whalen, we won't ask you what you would call that. and Council Member Griswold and Council Member Summers were there with me, and it was a really great event. It's taken a number of years. As you know, this is a project that we're in a partnership with the town of Queen Creek and the town of Gilbert. It's located on South Greenfield in Gilbert. It's being operated by Mesa. It's a partnership in every sense of the word, and I asked Dave Plum and Bill Haney if maybe we could get, at some future point, we could get a report back on how the CM at Risk project worked. This was the first major CM at Risk project. And the report back I got on how much we had in change orders was absolutely amazing. I mean, how low it was. It was a great number, and it looks like the CM at Risk thing worked well. So that would be worth, I think, hearing a report onto the council. Also, we had the Southwest Ambulance dedication. Once again, I saw the two gentlemen to my right at that dedication, and if other people were there, I just didn't see. I came and went, but I got two cool things this week, that flashing little cone thing that I really like, and then this was given out to the people who attended the that dedication yesterday for the new Southwest Ambulance building on Baseline. This is a replica of their wall, of their screening wall. It's like the one that Bob McNichols has out by the golf course. I really like this. So that's a great thing. And then the other event last evening that I attended was the Mesa Citizens Police Academy graduation. I think it's the 1,433rd, is that right? Something like that. No, it's not quite that many, but we've been doing this since 1991. It's a 12-week, it's now a 12-week course, about 30 people participating in it, getting, seeing behind the scenes at the police department, getting really involved, and it's always fun to watch them because they have so much fun learning about it. A lot of them come back and they become volunteers in our police department, and they save the city a lot of money because of their volunteer time. That's my report. Thanks, Mayor.
Okay. Mike?
Thank you, Mayor. Yesterday, Councilmember Summers and myself attended the Mesa Convention and Visitors monthly board meeting, and just so that we talk about money, let it be known that the projections for bed tax are up $100,000 this year over last. So Mesa is becoming a convention home, and our hotels are doing quite well. It looks like now there are at least four new hotel projects on the drawing board, so you know, maybe we're going to get there. And then they presented a timeline for Waveyard, which I'm assuming, Chris, we're going to see here at the council pretty soon, indicating when Waveyard needs to do this and this and this and this to head towards a potential November election. So a lot of support from that organization a lot of good things happening in the tourism industry.
Okay. Rex?
Yeah, touring the $150 million Greenfield water waste treatment plant was pretty amazing. There wasn't a smell in the whole place just walking through there. There was a dairy across the street, so if we get complaints on smell, I know where it's going to come from. But also, it occurred to me the forethought of previous councils, because 1995 they started planning this, and they bought this land a huge amount out in very cheap farm area way down near nowhere that's now right off the freeway. And when I came in and was elected, we had sewer bubbling through the manhole covers on Main Street. And you either had to do a moratorium on growth or we rewired things temporarily. But if this plant wasn't available and up now, this city would be in some real difficulties.
Don't go
or
there.
Knee deep in. Yeah.
Don't go
it's a great facility, and I think it shows a lot of forethought from previous councils.
Scott?
I just wanted to mention on the Southwest ambulance opening, I had the opportunity to meet with the director of Banner Baywood, and they're partnering with Southwest Ambulance in utilizing 12-lead EKGs and to evaluate patients in the field with cardiac chest pain. What will happen is we'll be able to, in Mesa, take the patients from the ambulance, skip the emergency room, and go directly into the cath lab, which will save cardiac muscle and hopefully save some lives. One of the projects, and why I mentioned this, one of the projects we're looking at here for funding and trying to get through the Indian Reservation, excuse me, are 12-lead EKGs for a fire apparatus. The paramedics on the fire department are already trained to utilize 12 leads. We don't have them yet. So if this going to be, as far as the four fire projects, in my mind, that's one that has to rate pretty highly. It's one that can save lives pretty darn quickly, and we're putting into effect with our private partners and the hospitals as well, a process that will save some lives quickly. So.
Anyone else? All right, let's move on then to scheduling the meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, we do have another study session on April 12th. At 7:30, and our next council meeting will be Monday, April 16th. I believe that will be preceded by the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, which will meet at 3 p.m. And as we mentioned, the Public Safety Committee meeting will be Monday, April 23rd at 3:30. Oh, and I do believe we have an April 19th Audit and Finance Committee meeting also. And that will follow the study session on that day.
Thank you. Mike?
We still have lunch with Fountain Hills Council on the 26th. And then the other thing is to the Cops and Robbers Annual Golf Tournament benefiting the Mesa Public Safety Foundation is April 28th. So still looking for sponsorships or players for that. If someone's interested, can contact either Wayne Pomeroy, George Bliss, or myself.
Did you confirm the Fountain Hills?
Yes, Mayor. It is the April 26th, 11:30, Fountain Hills Copper Wind, Resort.
Okay. All right. Item number 5 is pre-scheduled, and 6 is items from citizens present. Do we have any requests to speak?
I have no speakers, Mayor.
Move for adjournment.
All right. I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. We are.